We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. And Jack, another Nets Summer League win behind Cam Thomas. The Nets got the W today, 104-100. How are we feeling, Jack?
Killer Cam strikes again.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Thomas was on something today. Just really great performance. We're going to jump that and plenty more. But as always, you can find the Buzz on all streaming platforms. Jack, we start with Cam.
Mr. Thomas, what else do we say about this man, Nick? 15 points in the fourth quarter. Had another gargantuan game, 11 of 25 from the field, 36 from three, perfect 11 of 11 from the free throw line, 36 points, had a block, had a couple of steals, had a dime, had a few boards. Dear Lord, like, what else can we say about this kid?
Yeah, I mean, they're just, everything was on display, you know, and that's what we've been talking about a lot, you know, over the last couple summer league games. But 36 points, and like you said, Jack, 15 in the fourth, and it was a comeback victory, another big clutch three, and just kind of taking over, very, very consistent at the free throw line, like you mentioned. I know you loved that 11 of 11 there. And then, like, we got a glimpse of just, like, the different elements in which he can score. You know, the mid-range game was on a little bit more today than it probably was in the other games, and we had a couple threes in there. We saw him attack the rim, finish through some contact. There was also a couple really nice passes. There was also some impatient passes where I think he just kind of rushed them, and it led to a turnover, some of that summer league teammates and all that. But overall, there was just a lot of different layers to this game for Cam Thomas, and it just kind of continues to add to the excitement of, like, what can this guy really be moving forward, given that he's only 19 years old and he just oozes of potential and talent, especially scoring the basketball.
The most points, via Sports Center, the most points in a summer league game since 2018, which is just incredible. And I mean, we'll put it into context as well, because Michael Scotto put out a nice ranking, I guess, of the top scorers in rookie summer league history. And this game was just immense, Nick. And again, him from the left wing is just money. And he just stepping to the left, that's going to be unguardable. And, like, he's got that move. When you have an unguardable move, like, Jason Tatum has his sort of right side step three. James Harden has his step back. Kevin Durant has everything. Kyrie Irving has everything else. And, yeah, I think what you sort of alluded to, Nick, there was a couple of nice passes. You know, the dump-off pass to Alize Johnson I really liked on the drive. And if you want any of these sort of clips, you know, Nick's got them on there, so you can sort of see them in the context, watch them at the same time as we're sort of discussing it. That dump-off pass is really nice, sort of splitting the two defenders and not necessarily getting the blinkers and going, okay, I'll just get to the line here. I liked how he creates contact, you know, when he's got the defender on his back. He's just like, okay, you're there. You're illegally defending me, but I'm going to get some easy money for me, because two free throws are the most... one of the most analytically friendly shots going around. And when you shoot them as well as Cam Thomas does, it's to quote, you know, Kevin Durant's nickname, it's easy money. Like, it's as simple as that. And he just knows how to get to the line, knows how to get contact. And that's a skill that is not easy to develop. You know, I've mentioned this before, you know, Paul George has been, you know, a true superstar in this game. One of the top 10 to 15 players going around is like, well, we want Paul George to drive more. You know, that would get some easy buckets a little bit more. Jason Tatum, do the same thing, which he started to do. Cam Thomas is doing this already, and he is playing like a goddamn hooper with a capital H-O-O-P-E-R.
Yeah, and not only is he willing to kind of create the contact, he does a great job of anticipating bigs, knowing that they need to make up ground and kind of leaning into them at the right time to end up at the line. You know what I mean? And you mentioned, Jack, you know, the one where he kind of backed up into and got the two free throws at the free throw line. You know, that was good stuff. That's a veteran move that you're seeing from a 19-year-old kid, is just ability to score the basketball. It honestly feels like he's watched a ton of great scorers play. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of get the vibe that he – I don't know if he watches tape, if it's just like watching highlights and different stuff, but kind of adapting to some of those moves. And like you said, you know, the step back is lethal. There's just some different things he can throw in there, and it's just really tough to stop. And he's just a guy too, when he gets his rhythm, and that's something you can do at the free throw line, he just kind of goes up another level. Like, he's just a substantially better player when he's in a rhythm. That's why I think also you see his game kind of progress as the game goes along.
Yeah, he turns into absolute cash. You know, he's some spare change in the first quarter or two, but by the end of it, he's a goddamn money machine. And I will say, I've been in a couple of group chats that we've sort of got going. You know, when I sort of said that you can't teach, you know, the footwork that Cam Thomas and Daron Sharp do have, they did allude to a couple of guys alluded to the fact that you can do that. But I also think that it is an innate knowledge to be able to soak up information. And Cam Thomas's like mentality. I will say, I'm not sure if you did you see the Instagram from Daron Sharp earlier in the day as they're sort of like arriving to the facility and stuff.
I did not know.
It's funny because Daron's been great on Instagram. Obviously, we've got like the Men in Black sort of thing, and he's just posted some awesome content. He's walking alongside Cam Thomas, and it's like 102 degrees Fahrenheit, I think it said on his post. He's like, man, Cam, it's like hot as hell today. Like, you know, it's hot as hell, ain't it? And then Cam's like, yeah. It's just like, it's the dry wit. And he's just like, he's just so stoic. I love that. But then I just love how Daron's got this fun sensibility to him as well. These guys are just so easy to root for. And I think that it's funny because one of Cam Thomas's thing heading into the pre-draft was his overconfidence, his his lack of personality, or his personality that put off some certain recruiters and scouts. And it's just like, man, they're gonna be eating their words right now because look at the way he plays basketball. It's as simple as that.
And I mean, Jordan Ott had a lot of great things to say about him post game, saying that, you know, when he speaks, you know, Cam Thomas is ready to listen and kind of just soak up the information. Also, another note on Cam in this game, I thought there were some better defensive sequences in this game than what we've seen in the past. There's also all the mistakes because, again, he's only 19 years old. But going against Primo, obviously a draft pick that was above him in the draft, I feel like he had a little extra juice kind of trying to knock him off a little bit and have the bigger game, and he did, and his team got the W. I also love that in his post-game interview, he's always talking about winning, and I think that's an important factor. Obviously, we're going to see what that's like as he progresses to, you know, the real NBA season, and he has to take on a smaller role, but just a lot of positive stuff. He's also getting a lot of reps doing post-game interviews because, what is it, his third one in a row?
I mean, he's in a decent situation for winning, Nick. You know, there's not a better organization. We've sort of heard, you know, Kevin O'Connor speak about the fact that the Brooklyn Nets are literally the perfect organization for him. Every time he goes on a Ringer podcast, he speaks about the fact that the situation for Cam Thomas in Brooklyn is literally ideal for him. You know, if you're comparing it to, say, like a worse team, maybe like the San Antonio Spurs, or a team that probably lacks, I guess, maybe like an Orlando Magic or something like that, if you discount Jalen Suggs, where it allows just Cam Thomas to be, you take 30 shots a night, be inefficient, whereas he's not going to get those chances because you have guys that will be getting those opportunities that deserve it more. But I think what Cam is showing right now is literally historic, Nick, because via Michael Scotto and according to Real GM, the greatest rookie scorers in NBA Summer League history are as follows. Jared Bayless at 29.8 points per game. Donovan Mitchell at 28 points per game. Cam Thomas, killer Cam, clutch Cam at 27 points per game. And a little guy named Damian Lillard at 26.5 points per game. So, I mean, if you're discounting everyone but Jared Bayless there, it is a pretty positive signs for our dude, killer Cam, Nick.
Yeah, and I think you just love the fact he's 19. This is just kind of an early taste of what he can do, long as he's kind of on the right track and developing. And we also saw a couple plays today. You know, I think we mentioned this in, like, we did our draft recap. We've seen a little bit of it in Summer League so far, just the off-ball movement. There was a really smooth play where he just came off the screen from Sharp, catch and shoot three at the top of the key, just very fluid. And that's something that he can do, and that'll complement the superstars. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people are looking at these games like, well, he's not going to be able to do this in the regular season. No, he's not going to be able to do this, but he's going to be able to use some of these skills in different ways. I also think there was a lot of quick reaction plays today. like quick decisions, catch the ball in the closeout, attack the rim, you know, make sure you're getting the bucket, be decisive of what you're doing. Sometimes he gets caught in the in-between, or sometimes he looks at, he doesn't read the defense. He'll just kind of go into those two defenders today. We saw some of those reads, but still, again, still plenty of things to clean up, but 19. And like you said, the situation is really, really good for Cam Thomas.
Yeah, third best scorer, third best rookie scorer in Summer League history, alongside some incredible. I actually remember Donovan Mitchell Summer League, and I was just like, man, this kid's gonna be something. And funnily enough, you know, a guy that's playing with a chip on his shoulder as well. You know, pick 13, I believe it was, and now he is one of the premier young guards in the league. Could Cam Thomas, you know, rival that? You know, who knows? But that clip that you did allude to, it actually reminded me of Patty Mills. I just saw that, you know, I'm just like, man, it feels like I analyze this player like a million times for Patty Mills, because, you know, he gets a big, like, Jakob Poeltl, like, last year, screening for him, run around the perimeter, hit a three. The thing about Cam Thomas is he does the harder things and makes them look easy, which is going to mean, like, you know, the catch and shoots and all those different things that are just, like, making the right heady plays are going to be a piece of cake for him, because they are much easier things to execute on a basketball court. He's still got the number 8, and he's doing photo shoots now with the number 8. We saw him and Cam Thomas, Daron Sharp, you know, doing some cool photo shoots. I've saved all of those photos to my camera roll. But interesting to see. I think Paddy's still in Australia, actually, you know, having some beers, having some frothies, wearing the bronze medal. But it's cool to see. And I guess a question I wanted to ask you, Nick, just as a general personal observer, what's your favorite thing about watching this kid play?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I mean, just pure enjoyment, I guess. It's just the entertaining factor. I'm always a big fan of people breaking guys down on the dribble and getting to the rim. You know what I mean? That's like one of the most efficient things you can do. I think just his ability to kind of catch fire is really fun to watch from just a pure fan perspective. But I think if you're asking me what I think is my favorite thing to watch right now and how it could help the Nets this season, I think it's the off-ball movement and the catch-and-shoot threes. Like, I think that's something he can do and attack some of those closeouts. I think you'll see some struggle early on, maybe a travel here or there or a misread. But as
his first ever play was a travel, wasn't it?
And then you'll see it kind of progress and you'll be like, okay, well, now he's really deadly in that situation because he has such a great handle and what this team needs of him. So I'm excited. I mean, there's just a lot of fun things with his game. But Jack, what about you?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To quote the great Kevin Durant while he was on some sort of substance picking an all-star team, straight buckets, Nick. Simple as that. The dude just knows how to score the basketball, and the variety of ways that he can score it is just a joy to watch for a kid of his age and a kid of his stature. You know, the sidestep three is just an awesome move to have in your arsenal. I've mentioned on a few times ever since, you know, seeing him play for this team, and let alone at LSU, you know, the fact that he can just get to the line. You know, I'd probably not be saying that if, you know, James Harden probably wasn't our team, but I just think that his efficiency of using his skills, when to use them, and we can tell that he's getting better, Nick. Like, that's the frightening thing is, like, obviously, we don't want this to overanalyze it and, you know, get caught in the sauce to say it for the millionth time in this pod, but I think it's also just really fun to just be caught in the moment and just enjoy it. Enjoy it for what it is, because I feel like Cam's doing that. You know, he's trying to stay level, stay grounded, and bring this team wins. You know, we joked about our Brooklyn Nets Summer League Championship. I mean, I don't know where they are in the standings, and I think they've still got one game to go. I think that there's five games. I don't know who they're going to be versing. I don't think that there's the schedule out just yet.
So this year there's no playoff bracket, so it's just the top two teams face for the championship. So I don't think the Nets are going to be able to get there. I think, you know, since they lost that one game, shout out Brandon Knight and Reggie Perry. you know, they're not going to get it. Like you said, they might have one more game that's just kind of like an extra game to make up. I'm not really sure exactly. But so far, Jack, just to look at Cam Thomas's numbers, you know, four games, obviously about 29 minutes, 27 points, 42% from the field, 36% from three, 84% from the free throw line, two assists, just under two rebounds, and just under four turnovers. And I think it's not extremely efficient, but it's not frightening inefficient. You know what I mean? Like, it's average enough efficiency for having that type of production where you're like, okay, those are good numbers.
You know what's funny, Nick, is that I remember looking at that on Real GM after his third game. And I think he was at about 32% from three or somewhere in the low 30s. So, look, those sort of numbers are a good NBA player. You know, I think Patty Mills' field goal percentage isn't that high. D'Angelo Russell's field goal percentage isn't that high. And, you know, he has a similar sort of vein in certain skills. But, you know, the efficiency for him is going to be better than both Patty and D'Angelo Russell because he takes 10 free throws a game. It's not going to happen, obviously, in the regular season, but he has that in his bag. And just another great, great player. And, you know, obviously, it's just an absolute W for the Brooklyn Nets having this guy on their roster. Another weapon. Again, give him the sixth man, give him the rookie of the year, give him all the awards, give him all my love. Killer camp, baby. Absolutely clutch.
Yeah, and we're going to do a little summer league recap, you know, at the end of all of this and kind of evaluate the players and see if anything's really changed on them and our thoughts. So we'll talk about Cam a little bit more. But anything else, Jack, you want to discuss from this game?
Look, it was I think that it was interesting down the stretch how, like, Jordan Ott actually wanted to win it and, like, you know, went with, like, Bowden and other guys and took Darren Sharp off the floor and was just like, man, we want to win this game. And I thought that was an interesting sort of wrinkle from the game overall.
Yeah, I liked it. I really do. I think like winning is contagious type of thing. And Jordan Ott wants to win Summer League. And like you said, you know, he took Sharp out, went with a switchy lineup. And then he alluded to it, I think, post game as well, talking about like, hey, let's get shooters out there to give Cam space. And I think that's also like, that's been a goal, and I think that's been pretty apparent. Like, the Nets want to put Cam Thomas on display and see what he can do at so many different levels and different, you know, variations of his game and how that works with different players. So, you know, Jordan Ott, I think, has done a really nice job, to be honest. Like, I don't think it's, like, you know, amazing. Like, he's not going to get a coaching job or anything like that. But in terms of what the Nets needed to see so far in Summer League, I think Jordan Ott's done a nice job.
Definitely. Like, the fact that he was given the opportunity to do so. You know, rotations, all this sort of thing. You know, we wanted more Cam Thomas minutes. We got a lot of Cam Thomas minutes. We wanted, you know, and I liked the way that he sort of managed the rotation here and there. It was good to see. Another little tidbit, Nick. Like, some nice moments from Marcus Zagorowski. I thought that he was pretty good today. Two or three from three. You know, I know that you have sort of been skeptical about his size and ability to create shots for himself, but, you know, was the leader in plus minus for the team, plus 13. You know, had a dime, you know, rebounded the ball well. Looks, again, like I said, looks much bigger than when I was watching film of him at college. So I think that maybe there's something in for Zagorowski.
Yeah, Zegarowski, I thought, you know, had a little pop in this game, kind of helped the Nets get back into it, a nice little bench burst, knocked down a couple threes, like you mentioned. You know, he just seems like a gamer, like a guy that's going to make some of those plays. He's going to be a little gritty, stick his hand in there for some rebounds, loose balls, whatever it is. You know, can he develop further and turn into one of these, like, undrafted guys that's an NBA player? I wouldn't rule it out as a possibility. I'm not sure it's going to be with the Nets. I think he'll probably end up with the G League team and they'll develop him a little bit more. And I think at some point he'll probably get an NBA call up if he kind of continues to excel. But there's some potential there. It's not like, you know, game breaker or anything like that, but he could develop into an NBA rotation player possibly. Like, I wouldn't rule it out. I'm not going to bet on it either.
No, it's like we sort of said, you want the glimpses. And you know, these guys, at this point in time, it's different what you're looking from Zegarowski, from Rakon Gray, from Kessler Edwards. These guys are the second rounders and young prospects in comparison to, you know, Brandon Knight, Reggie Perry, and that sort of thing. But any other things you, I guess, wanted to touch on, Nick? You dive pretty deep on all these sort of games, things that stuck out to you that we haven't touched on.
Yeah, Kessler Edwards today, not as, you know, productive, but I thought the defense was still there. It looked like he got a little dinged up, and that's probably why he didn't play much in the second half. You know, I think it was just like a minor limp. It didn't seem like anything serious. Going to Alize Johnson. This is my favorite Alize game of Summer League so far. I feel like he just had a different it factor. The numbers aren't even amazing, but I just felt him on the court a lot more. I think defensively he played with a little bit more enthusiasm as well. So 13 points, 14 rebounds, 5 offensive, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 5-11 from the field. Put up 2 threes, missed them, but I'm still happy he put up the threes because that's what he has to do. So Alize, I thought this was a plus game for him.
Yeah, no, it's good that we sort of saw some increased moments from Alize. You know, the energy was utilized in a, I think, a more productive fashion, I would sort of say. And good to hear and see, you know, that he was using all of the tools that he does have in terms of his athleticism, you know, his headiness, his experience, to have a real impact on the game.
Yeah, I think this was a really nice game for him. And obviously, I think he'll be fighting for his roster spot in training camp. But this at least left the Nets with a good taste in their mouth after this one. But De'Ron Sharpe, I felt like there was obviously the rebounding is always a plus for him. There were some nice finishes inside, set some good screens. But defensively, he looked slower in this game. Maybe it's something the Spurs were doing and they kind of got him in space a little bit more. And I think that just adds to a little bit of the concern about, you know, how's he going to be against, you know, NBA level offensive guards in that drop or whatever the Nets are going to run with him. Because he's just not quite quick enough. And it's obviously his positioning isn't quite amazing. And I think his athleticism could use, you know, a little boost. Obviously, I don't know if he's going to be able to improve his vert. That'd be something that'd be pretty impactful for him. But just getting kind of quicker and a little bit more agile is a big thing for De'Ron Sharpe to be a good defender in the NBA. You know, I think with where he's currently at, he could be, you know, average to mediocre possibly, but he needs to improve that foot speed because it does feel like he gets lost in space sometimes, and then that can lead to fouls.
Yeah, I think that he's obviously made some big strides in terms of where he is in terms of, you know, his body and his composition. Yep. Because, you know, what was it, 25 pounds that he lost, you know, yep, heading into a lot of the camps and a lot of the sort of workouts and such. So he's going to continue to hone it. And, you know, he's going to be under the tutelage and guidance of an organization that knows how to give him the best meal plans, give him the best weight plans and make sure that, you know, he gets the tutoring that he's going to get is going to be, you know, second to none. So I'm intrigued to see. And hopefully, you know, because we love what he gives. There's just an energy. You know, we sort of spoke about Alize Johnson and the fact that, you know, De'Ron Sharpe is still one of the best rebounders and is the best rebounder in the draft. Yeah. And that's not just me saying that. That's all the draft experts saying that. So he's going to provide a skill to the Brooklyn Nets next season and to the NBA. It's about what he can do on top of that that's going to separate him, like you mentioned, Nick.
Yeah, and I think, like, it's not to say that he can't do that and that he can't develop into those things. And obviously there are other pluses to his game. It's just he's a rookie, and this is something he needs to work on. And like we said, you know, I think on a previous show, it's a little easier to hide a bad guard defender on the floor than it is to hide a bad big defender, because they're just going to get put into every single action, and it's harder to give them help if they're not able to kind of match up with the opposition.
Yeah, it's just the nature of how basketball is played. Simple as that. But Nick, do we want? I've got a couple of little news points here that I haven't necessarily brought to you, and might be a little bit surprised by them. But do you mind if I throw a few at you?
Yeah, I just want to say David Duke, I thought another solid game, you know, didn't play as many minutes, just kind of, you know, role player stuff, not anything that super popped off the screen, but just kind of consistent. Jordan Bowden tried to put up a lot of shots today, hit some big ones, kind of had a little bit more spark than what we've seen him in the past. And Raekwon Gray, like, seems like such a fun player. You know, I'm not sure he has the NBA skill to get in the NBA, but, you know, develop in the G League and see what can happen. Because there's just something about his game that just is really fun to watch, just because he's such a unique player.
Yeah, I just like seeing him with the ball in his hands. It's just, there's an energy, you know, yep, around it when he's got the basketball in his hands. But a player that we didn't see any minutes from today, Nick, was Reggie Perry. And, you know, he's qualifying offer was rescinded by the Brooklyn Nets, and I think that was first reported by Alex Schiffer of The Athletic. So I'm intrigued to see what it sort of happens there. What are your thoughts, I guess, on this news?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, typically what teams do, like, they'll send out the qualifying offer and they could always rescind it at any point. The Nets wanted to see maybe if Reggie took strides and they let him play a little summer league. And he probably didn't hit their expectations because he didn't play very well. You know, there's just kind of this in-between to his game. You're not really sure what he can be or what he can develop to. And if he truly has, you know, an NBA center body. So I think the Nets saw enough from Reggie Perry in terms of, you know, summer league to understand that he's not going to get one of those roster spots. They're going to probably give it to, you know, somebody else, given the actual roster spots on the NBA roster. And then in the two-way stuff, I think they'd rather give it to Kessler Edwards or possibly in David Duke, or maybe there's another guy they're eyeing from somebody else's summer league team that might not get that two-way deal. So I think Reggie Perry really just didn't do enough. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, shit on the guy or anything like that. He just needs to work on his game and get better if he wants to have an NBA career, just because there's obviously deficiencies there that he has to make up for, just given to some of his physical limitations.
Yeah, it's not to say that he can't be back with the Nets, because, you know, we've seen teams, we've seen offers, and, you know, still get back on the roster. I think, you know, Corey Joseph and some other players in Detroit, you know, that's what happened with them. It's just the nature of the fluid nature, I guess, of the roster composition. And via Brian Lewis, Nick, who asked the question of Jordan Knott in terms of the status, and Jordan Knott said this: "We just want to leave that to Sean Marks and Steve. I'll say this, he is here, he's practicing, he's a Brooklyn Net, he's part of our summer league team. We coached him just like any other person on our team. We came here to get better. He got better. We all got better. We're going to continue to coach him every day. That's what we're all signed up to do. He's a Brooklyn Net right now, and we'll continue to coach him." So I guess not a lot there from Jordan, but you don't expect it, because, you know, Sean and Steve Nash are the ones behind the scenes that probably know a little bit more. And I think Sean Marks isn't going to be as forthright in probably his reasoning with this one than he was with the big three in their extensions.
Yeah, I agree, Jack. And I think obviously that's kind of, like you said, what you expect from Jordan Knott. And I think Reggie Perry can still sign with the Long Island team. You know, other teams can sign him from there too. But see what happens with him. Not super surprised, just given what the Nets need on their roster. And, you know, what was Reggie Perry really going to do next season for the Nets?
Yeah, it's, I mean, Nick, we might see, is Lance Stephenson going to take his spot? Just a big reaction. Oh man,
I was trying to push Jack that we didn't have to talk about this. No, I mean, you know, Lance wasn't great his last NBA stint. You know, maybe there's still something there. He's only 30 years old, so I don't want to, like, completely destroy him and say that, like, no, there's no chance he's going to be back in the NBA. Obviously, he's done some things off the court that are not great, and we're not going to really discuss that, but that'd be a reason that you wouldn't want him on the team. And also just kind of the sporadic nature of his personality to an extent in his play. And also, like, he doesn't shoot threes well. So, like, what is he really doing well for the Nets? The Nets don't need playmaking from Lance Stephenson. They don't need his scoring, and they don't need, you know, his inconsistent defense.
Yeah, I like that you also mentioned that he's still young at 30 years old. Makes me feel good about being a 30-year-old as well. But Scott Agnes said this on Twitter, and he said that what Lance Stephenson has been highlighting in his workouts is the following: maturity, eagerness to be the vet on a team, help out the young guys, in good shape, do whatever it takes to win. I'll believe it when I see it from Lance. I know that Corey Waldron of Full Access Hoops in the Outlet probably isn't liking us shitting on Lance Stephenson, but I don't think he's a good NBA player. I don't think he can provide anything to the Brooklyn Nets, and maybe this was just some sort of favor, agency favor.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, because we did see, you know, Chris Haynes do the initial reporting, and, you know, Sean Marks is he's always good when it comes to managing relations around the league with other GMs, with agents. He seems to always take care of his guys when it comes to, like, you know, giving them, you know, making sure that if their contract ends at a certain day and that money is guaranteed, all those sort of little things. And, you know, obviously the Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, how that sort of played out, you know, obviously, again, making sure that, you know, their guys are the ones being taken care of.
Yeah, and I also think you could look at it, too, as like, you know, if somebody were to get hurt and they need to fill out a roster spot, they want to have the scouting report on what Lance Stephenson can do. Like, you still have to do your diligence, you know what I mean? Maybe he is in amazing shape. Maybe he is, you know, great looking right now and he's knocking down threes or something like that. So it's something else to just for the front office to have in their notes or in whatever their, you know, their database.
Yeah, it's probably just on like their iPhone notes rather than like on a specific official database. But one final thing, Nick, is, and this caused, for some reason, furor. I don't understand why. Maybe it's because of where I currently am in Melbourne, Australia, and the status of our vaccinations and mask policies and all this sort of thing. But Barclays Center apparently is going to require all employers and guests to be vaccinated, and they updated their mask policies as well. The full statement from the Brooklyn Nets, obviously on the Barclays Center website. This was a little bit of a tidbit from it. In accordance with the mandate recently announced by New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, we will soon be requiring all employees and guests at Barclays Center to be fully vaccinated. Beginning Monday, September 13, individuals ages 12 and up will be required to show proof of at least one vaccine dose. We've heard from our fans that requiring vaccination is important to them, and we want to provide the safest possible environment for all employees and guests at Barclays Center. Please visit our fax page for any additional questions. Is this anything to even talk about, Nick? I mean, we're not anti-vaxxers on the Brooklyn bus, so.
No, I mean, I'm vaccinated. Obviously, you got some of your vaccine almost done. And when I went to Barclays for game two against the Bucks, I believe it was like 98% of the crowd was vaccinated. You know, it was just a small section. And obviously, I'm not a scientist and I'm not trying to have a political debate with anybody. But obviously, this seems like what's going to be happening moving forward. And that's just a way for people to feel more protected and things along those lines. And obviously the goal is to keep everyone safe, not only the fans, but also the players, the coaches, the staff in Barclays Center. So, and I mean, I think this is going to be something you see pretty common across all sports within the next year or so. You know what I mean? It just makes a lot of sense, especially based off of, you know, how of some governments and some states are going to run with it. So no surprise, really. I mean, not at all.
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings made a similar announcement. The Golden State Warriors made a similar announcement.
Yep.
Live Nation made a similar announcement as well. It's funny, watching the EPL, the English Premier League over the weekend, I don't think that they have the same status in terms of mask wearing. And I think that that's what a lot of people were, you know, toing and froing about, which is like, why is it so inconvenient? Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, yeah, you can pull it down when you're drinking your beer or whatever, or you're having some, maybe food will be allowed. I don't really know, but I think this is a good thing because it just shows that, and we probably won't have to have like Nick Wrong going to games and like highlighting the non-vaccinated section. Yep. And saying that, where's the crowd at MSG, like this, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, but yeah, I think this is a good thing. I think it's a really positive thing. Joe Tsai knows what's going on. And obviously they're going to be following the correct protocols and guidelines. And hopefully in the coming weeks and months, we see a downplay in what's happening around the world. I know it's for those listening in Australia right now, full shout out to you guys. Hopefully everyone's taking care of their mental and everyone else and being good to each other and everyone else around the world that's continuing to be affected by the virus, because it seems to me that it's been a news point for the past 18 months or so. So just take care of each other. Take care of yourselves, guys. That's the main thing.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, just kind of keep everyone safe. And, you know, and that goes for, you know, fans, players, your listeners, whatever, anybody in the world, you know, that's the goal here. But Jack, anything else you want to jump into? Obviously, we don't know when the Nets are going to play their fifth game yet. It looks like it'll probably be on Tuesday, I believe. And we'll probably get that finalized schedule tomorrow.
Yeah, we're damn sickos, Nick. We'll probably be recapping it. And we've got some things coming. And if you are a designer of some sort, graphic design, illustrator, and you have interest in collaborating with the Brooklyn Buzz, hit me up. Hit Nick up on Twitter, at the JMNJBT, at Nick underscore Faye. And, you know, we've got some things popping.
Yes, that's we do. And like you said, Jack, we'll be recapping probably the next Summer League game, giving you guys some more off-season stuff. But as always, a pleasure, Jack. And big thanks, everybody, for listening.